Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast. This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy. And you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And today's movie is a very fun one. But before we get into it, did anything scary happen to us this week?
Okay, wait, I've actually been really excited to tell you guys about this.
Oh my God, I love it.
So, Emily, you have told us in the past.
Oh my God, I'm nervous.
About meeting with someone who did a past lives reading for you.
Oh my God, yes, Henley, I almost texted you that because I was like, I think she did it, but you hadn't told us. And were you saving it for this moment?
Not like consciously.
Oh,
but
okay, well,
I did.
Oh my God, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, Emily, a couple years ago, had a past lives reading, and I was like, I'll never do anything like that. But I was very intrigued, and I wanted to know all the details.
Oh, my God.
So then, the thing that really hooked me was you told me that she books at least 6 months in advance, and I was like, oh, well, then I got to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I need to do this in the back. So back in, like, November, I booked a session with this woman. She does it over Zoom, and I didn't know what to expect, but I have to say that it was like way more emotional than I was expecting. And I think it has something to do with like meeting a stranger who there's no like baggage, there's no expectation, there's nothing. It's just this person who's like in this moment with you who's like, hi, like, how are you? Like asking you how you're doing. And it felt like, made me feel so vulnerable.
It's like therapeutic. I feel it's like therapy.
It was so therapeutic. I was so immediately emotional. It's also fucking crazy what happened.
It's
insane.
Everybody has to do it. Everybody needs to do it.
So, okay, the format is she apparently meditates on my energy before.
Yes, she does. Not apparently.
Yes,
she does.
She is. That's okay. Okay. Sorry.
Those are the facts.
Those are the facts. Then we pray together in the beginning of the session. And then she goes into a light trance for approximately 25 minutes where she is just speaking to like
your team.
My team.
And you watch her?
Mm-hmm. And she encourages you to record the Zoom and to take notes.
Like take notes. She's just sort of like speaking what's coming to her, and so and then you'll you discuss it after the so you could go
and so and I'm so glad she told me to do those things because it was like really a lot of information really fast,
and you'll be able to look back on those notes later.
I'm definitely gonna re-listen re-watch and there is a lot that was said, but I think the only thing that I'm really gonna share here because it's so specific and is she said that one thing that I did in my past life, she was seeing that I taught blind children and I used to know Braille. I taught Braille.
My God.
Wow.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And I was like,
those are the facts.
Oh, that sounds right to me. No. But I was really. It's so funny and it was so outrageous. And I was telling Tim's family all about it afterwards, and they are so aggressively non-believers in that stuff. And Tim's mom was just like shitting on it so hard. They go to church.
Sorry, it's like
that one's normal. That one makes sense.
I actually said that. I basically said that to Tim afterwards. I was like, you know, it's not that different.
She's just like, just woke up and came out of a cave. Like, that's normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay. I know the Jesus thing's wild, but
that the Jesus thing.
The Jesus thing. Oh, the Jesus. Don't even get me started on the Jesus thing.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. But like, I just want to, you know, encourage everyone to, you know, if you're interested in this type of thing, I did find it very therapeutic. I had a good cry over a few things. She was just such a lovely human to interact with. I don't know if I necessarily learned that much besides the Braille thing, but
well, that seems worth it, though.
It was worth it. It was worth it. I felt good at coming out of it.
It's like, it is therapeutic. It feels spiritual in a way. It's also just like a very specific, interesting experience to have.
Yeah.
And connection with a person. Yeah.
Yeah. Her name is Carolyn Jones. Was it Carolyn?
Carolyn Swift Jones.
Swift Jones.
Check her out.
Guiding Circle.
Guiding Circle. Yeah, yeah. She books up real far in advance. So, but
so
that
is
she's
good.
And anyway, I loved it. Thank you so much, Emily, for bringing that to me.
No, thank you.
I did a birth chart reading once where I didn't know there would be any past life things spoken about, but apparently, according to my birth chart, I was a swindler in past lives.
Swindler.
And they said I needed to work on being like a better person because I used to really cheat people out of money a lot.
What? They presented it to you as something you have to work on?
Now my life's purpose is giving back.
To make up for that.
That's right.
To make up for all the swindling.
You are selfless.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
if that's
now, Sammy,
true.
You've already done enough. I think you've made amends.
Cool. Great.
You've made up for it. You've made up for
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
Swindle's forgiven.
My work is done.
What about you guys? What's up with you?
I'm so happy that you did that. We had three friends get their readings this week because they booked like around the same time. Everybody had a great experience. I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear more. I will say, this week I have had heartburn again.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. I've had heartburn again, and I booked an appointment with a gastroenterologist. I'm fine. I was inspired by Sammy taking charge of her body.
Proud
and
of
her
you.
Healthcare. And I'm like, you know what? This just doesn't feel normal.
Mm.
So I'm going to try to do something about it. But I'll say this. The scary thing that happened to me this week is I got some heartburn medication to take. I got prescribed. It's basically just like, what's the purple pill?
Nexium.
Nexium, thank you. it's like that, but I got it prescribed for some reason. And I was looking it up, like, what's the deal with this drug that I'm going to be taking for 2 weeks? It's pretty run of the mill, but they do say very explicitly, like, you cannot take this long term. Like, you cannot, this is a
short
term solution.
It's like, okay, well, this is not good for you then.
Yeah, so I, far too late in my life this week, started thinking about the whole body connection and how, yes, I could be tending to my heartburn, but am I creating another problem?
Oh, maybe.
And having a body is really scary.
It is.
And,
it's terrifying.
We have no choice. And
we don't have a choice.
I just like, like the phrase, like every action has an equal and opposite reaction was like going in my brain this week. And I was like, I'm fixing the heartburn, but what else is happening? And I've just been like, oh no. Like I, you know, I get a headache and I take Tylenol and it's like, am I destroying my liver? I do like all these things that I just am like, I just do. But there's something else happening in my body. And that's going to come calling, you know?
What's funny is that stress is the most dangerous thing of all.
Absolutely.
I remember once being so stressed and watching this documentary that was like about stress, and it opened with like, stress, the silent killer. Like, if you're stressed, your life is going to be shortened by this amount of time. And I was like, oh fuck, I'm so stressed.
Well, I have diagnosed myself with laryngococcal reflux,
that rolls off the tongue,
which is also known as silent GERD.
Oh,
so I
GERD,
so
I'm
you
familiar
said the
with.
Silent killer, and I was like, oh no,
oh, the silent GERD,
the silent. But like, of course, and so I've been looking up, of course, things like, you know, acid reflux, GERD, silent GERD, laryngococcal reflux. What do you do? And the biggest thing is like stress. You're stressed.
Yep.
And like this problem really started for me in the past 2 years. And what has changed? None of my habits aside from stress. And it's like,
I was telling Joel,
what's happened in the past 2 years?
And I'm like, but
that
I don't
could be
feel
stressful.
Like, I'm not, I don't feel stressed in a way that I'm like, well, I got to turn down this dial and then I won't be like, I'm like, I don't know what
it sounds like. You're pretty stressed, Emily.
But like, no, anyway, yes, I am. I'm really stressed.
I think you are.
It just becomes like a base level stress,
right?
That
right,
you're
right.
Not even,
and then you're adjusted to it. And then the only other solution is to stop drinking alcohol, but that's
which I will not do.
That's
and
not gonna happen.
That's why I told the doctor who prescribed me the next CMD for these 2 weeks. I was like, I, you know, and I've tried to make lifestyle adjustments, which is true. I have. But I was like, but not, I'm not going to stop drinking wine and I'm not going to stop drinking coffee. So like, what else can I do
next?
It's just like having a body. What the hell, you know?
What the hell, man?
Fucking a lot.
It's a lot.
I'm sorry your heartburn is back. That
Thank
sucks.
You.
It's so painful.
I hope the Nexium helps.
Yeah, the prescribed
Nexium.
So far
it's doing okay, but is it causing other problems? Probably.
Okay, don't go there.
And am I stressed
there.
About
stop
it? Definitely.
Stop
One
doing
problem
that.
At a time.
Yeah,
and
stop doing that.
Incorporate some meditation into your daily life, into your daily
that.
Routine, because life is stressful. That is true.
Sammy, what about you? What about you?
I had dinner with a friend this week, and we wanted to watch something to make us laugh. We were like, we're in the mood for a good laugh tonight.
Okay.
And we put on Gerard Carmichael's HBO special.
I watched that.
Rothaniel.
You're not going to laugh so
I was
much.
Say, yeah,
which
that's...
is not so funny. And we were pretty shocked about 15 minutes in. I think we were both crying.
Yeah, no, I cried.
I really cried. And it was just, it's very, very good. I really loved it. But it was just this moment of having to really readjust our expectations mm-hmm. of like, oh, okay, this isn't like a hilarious stand-up comedy special,
mm-mm.
but it's really, really good, and I highly recommend it.
I love it.
I've been meaning to.
You gotta check it out.
Makes me a little more hesitant, but because you know I hate
that's
to be
true. You don't like
forced
to
feel emotion.
Feel feelings, yeah. I love feeling feelings.
But maybe it would help with the stress. Maybe I need to cry. Crying is good. It releases stress.
Sometimes I'll cry for literally 3 seconds. I'll go like, because I'm trying not to hold anything in. So if I get any urge, but sometimes it looks so
like
stupid and weird.
Like yeah.
Not even a tear will come out, but it's just like, I'm just trying to release it because it's not good to hold stuff in. So it's like, if something comes across, I'll just be like,
that's so good. That's really
that's
healthy
incredible.
Of you.
But then I'll laugh because I'm like, that looks so dumb.
That's also healthy, I think.
It's
that's
fun.
Incredible. You're inspiring me left and
Let
right,
those
Sammy.
Emotions loose, baby. Just
mm-hmm,
feel them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I will say, so I also just have a few housekeeping things.
Yes.
And when I thought about that, I have housekeeping things to say in the podcast, I was like, we should have a term for that. What's like a horror equivalent of housekeeping? And I came up with nothing. So
I have nothing. I'm drawing a massive
turning
blank.
On the lights.
What?
Yeah.
Not like things you should do.
Turning on the hall light.
Like, I see.
Checking the basement.
Yeah, destroying your basement. Getting rid of the
destroying
attic
your basement.
And the basement.
So, let's destroy the basement really quick. It's a perfect metaphor, and we're not going to try harder. So first, you guys, this is going way back. It's been in my notes for a while, and I want to get it off my notes. So you guys did, when I was in Florida, a bonus episode on our Patreon, patreon.com/TSW.
Check it out.
Podcast. Where Sammy, you showed Henley some clips from movies we've covered and made her look at them. A great idea. And not just because I didn't have to do it, but I did watch it, and because it's a video episode. And there was a clip from The Ritual, which is a movie we've covered. I just want to say I wrote down how I would describe the monster.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I wanted to contribute.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
And it is it's a giant deer with husks, but the husks are arms.
Oh, like the husks are the arms
are
where
a giant deer, but that like tusks.
Oh, tusks. That makes more sense.
I've looked
husks.
At this note so many times. I've always seen husks. I've never thought it was wrong until just now saying it doesn't sound right. Tusks.
Antlers.
No, the antlers are antlers.
No, you mean like
tusks,
tusks like a tusk.
Arms.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's your spot on. We got there.
We got there. Okay, so I can delete that from my notes. Okay, and then other thing, really quick. Swim, swam, swum.
Swum is a word.
Swum is a word.
Swum I was right.
Yes, Sammy was right.
It's the past participle.
Sammy was
it's
right.
It's the past participle. Just putting that out there. We really Thank you very much.
I'm a grammatical genius.
She's a genius.
Is that grammar? I don't know.
It is grammar.
Okay. It like I said, grammar. I'm a grammatical genius.
A quick thank you needs to be shouted out to Christy Gross, who sent us some books to our P.O. box. So thoughtful. The books personalized to each of us.
It was very sweet.
It didn't fit in the P.O. box. You had to like go to the post office and be like, I have a slip for a package. And that is so exciting. To be like my brain is still like a Chad where I'm like, oh, if it's bigger, it's better. It didn't fit the P.O. box. It's going to be really special. But it was. It didn't disappoint. And so really, truly that
they're very thoughtful. The books were also specific to each of our personalities. Gosh. And I mean, Sammy got a Nick Cage one. So
Sammy got a Nick Cage one. Believe it. I got a sewing book.
I got a book of essays. That sounds really funny. Yeah, and I can't wait to read it.
Really, really delighted. Really delighted. And final housekeeping thing. Final, what did we say?
Destroying the basement.
Final destroying the basement is, she's not going to like it, but it's happening. I'm going to say it. I'm going to shout out Samantha Smart. First of all, on the day this podcast is released to your feeds, it will be her freaking birthday. It'll be Samantha Smart's birthday. We are so blessed.
She's turning 21 years old.
She's not yet an adult. And we love her so much.
No, I'm actually very excited to be turning 33 because Turty Tree is my favorite.
Oh my God, we love you so much. Happy birthday.
Oh my God, I love you guys so much.
We've said it once, we'll say it a million times, but thank you for everything you do for the podcast.
Yes.
Sammy edits everything. She watches all the goddamn movies.
It's hard. It's hard work. You know what else she does?
It's a lot of work.
Right now, we also are all sitting together in person, which is an incredible thing. Henley is in town. We're sitting together in person at the HeadGum Studio because we're a HeadGum podcast now, which is really fucking cool. And we're very excited. And that is almost entirely due to Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And we would not be here if it weren't for Sammy. Mm-hmm. We literally would never have made it this far.
Absolutely.
You do so much work. You are incredible. You are a gift to every single person who meets you, every single listener, everybody whose ears this is hitting right now. You are so fucking lucky. And I just love you very much. I'm very grateful.
Oh, I got to do my...
I couldn't remember. I get out one cry.
That is so nice. I love you guys so much.
I love you. I love you.
Thank you.
Seriously.
I mean, this podcast is so much fucking fun. And mm-hmm. I feel like...
It's great.
It's not just me. It's the three of us.
Yes, but you deserve the shout out.
I appreciate it. But yeah, it certainly wouldn't be fun if it was just me. So
I would listen. I would still listen.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would.
But that's... You guys are here to listen to us talk about a movie. And so let's talk about that movie. This week we have a movie that I somehow had never heard of.
Wait, me either.
I don't know how, you know, it's very interesting how movies could have ever just slipped your radar. I feel like in the 90s it was like if you didn't watch TV at the time frame that trailer played, you didn't know what happened.
Oh, wait, I disagree. I feel like I knew about every fucking movie that came out in the 90s. That's why I'm shocked.
But that's what I mean. You just weren't watching TV in the whatever 10 to 11 p.m. hour when they played this trailer.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Did you know about this movie?
I did know about it, but I actually hadn't seen it. This was my first watch.
Okay,
I'm going to tell us. I love how much we're teasing, not even saying the movie.
Tell us what it is.
The movie is Urban Legend. It came out in 1998. It's directed by Jamie Blanks, written by Silvio Horta, starring Get this. Jared Leto, Alicia Witt, Rebecca Gayhart, Joshua Jackson.
Amazing.
Loretta Devine, Tara Reid.
Holy shit.
Michael Rosenbaum, Robert Englund. And it's currently streaming on HBO Max. So anybody with HBO Max can get on it and watch this movie. I can't wait to hear about it. Tara Reid, Joshua Jackson. I mean, this is the 90s. We famously don't care for Jared Leto. Famously.
Yeah.
People are talking about it.
We could do it. Without him, yeah.
But I can't wait to hear about it, and I'm so thrilled. We have a guest joining us to talk about this movie this week. Comedian, actor from a program you might know of, Saturday Night Live. It's Ego Nwoda.
Hi.
Ego. Hi, Ego.
What's going on?
Things are great. We're all doing great.
Yes, everyone's so happy. I feel like, okay. I have to tell everyone the N in my last name is silent, but
yes,
it's okay.
Because
you know that, Emily, but it's okay.
I know that, Ego.
It's not offensive. No, I know. I'm not offended because there's people who know that also who I'm close to, but you screed it and then you just say it. But I'm only saying this right now because if I don't, someone's going to listen and go, I can't believe she just didn't correct them. So
I love this, Ego.
I know. I'm fine.
It's your name. It should be said but correctly.
This is a very important lesson in like, we all need to be speaking up for ourselves.
But guys, I'm so excited to be here and talk spooky shit with you.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of spooky shit, did anything scary happen to you this week?
Okay. I was thinking about that question and I think the scariest thing that happened was I went to Pilates for maybe the third time ever in my life. It's having a moment, okay? Mm-hmm. And the two women on either side of me, one of them had to be recovering from COVID, and the other one for sure had it.
Oh, no.
I know that. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about COVID, if that's too dark and scary, but I'm like,
I don't know how we're supposed to not.
I was like, should I tell this one? But that's the spookiest thing. But then I was like, I've had it. And so I felt kind of, I'm still immune.
You got those antibodies.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's fine. But I'm like, I know that COVID cough anyway.
I was going to say, what tipped you off? Was it the raspy cough?
It was the raspy, incessant, obviously couldn't help herself cough.
Oh, no.
And both maskless. And I was like, this is absolutely beautiful.
There's nothing I hate more than being trapped in an exercise class in any context.
Also spooky.
When you're like eyeing the clock and you're like, God damn it, there's 35 more minutes.
I hate
like,
it when I can see
get
the
me
clock.
Out of here.
They absolutely can never show me a clock because if I know how much longer I have there, there's nothing worse.
Oh, I need to be looking at a clock constantly.
I'm with Emily in that I can't know how much time. So I haven't been to an exercise class. It's been like, I think I went to one last month, but before that it had been years and years. But if I train with someone and they're like, all right, just 15 more seconds. And I'm like, and I'm done. I didn't need to know that. I thought it was something wrong with me, but okay, Emily, you get it. I was like, maybe.
I'm like, don't tell me, surprise me.
Yes.
Absolutely surprise me. Because if my brain goes, it's this much longer. Like, because also I don't know what 15 seconds feels like, actually. I never know what time it is. I don't know how long things last. But if you tell me a number, all of a sudden I'm like, well, that's not happening.
It truly, I feel you on this because it doesn't matter. Like if you say to me 15 seconds left or like you only have 5 more of these to do. I'm like, well, that's just my body's like, no, I don't like, no, we can't do any more. I don't like that you told me, but I want to be surprised as well.
Interesting. It's like, don't set the expectation. Like, please do not remove that. It's too much pressure. And it also just makes me feel like responsible for something that I don't want to be managing right now.
Correct.
I completely get that.
Feel like I have to do this forever so I can just come to terms with it and just keep pushing through. But if you tell me I get to stop. And anyway, you get it. But that was my spook. My weekly spook was those COVID-y. I was like, the lady on my left for sure recovered because that was the post-COVID cough.
Uh-huh, and then it's
the one to my right. I was like, mama, you got it. And I think you know you do.
I think you shouldn't be here.
Yeah. But there's people, I've been in multiple conversations also this week with people who have been like, I had it. But I either wasn't going to test because I need to live my life or I had it and but I didn't test because I knew tests were coming back negative, but I knew I had it. But I was like, well, they're coming back negative.
Oh, no.
vectors of disease, these people.
I think we're in a different part of the pandemic now. It's
we really are. No, we absolutely are.
Loose.
We fully, yeah, because now, like, I just had COVID. So did Henley just had COVID. You know,
hey!
we're immune now. But yeah, I think people are just sort of like, oh, yeah, I mean,
it's inevitable.
We're getting it, giving it to everybody. Like, it's just, and people just sort of, it became so common in the past couple weeks, at least in like,
yeah.
Like, I had never had it. Like, it was people yes. who had, like, never had it. All of a sudden, yes. are like, oh, yeah, no, everybody has it. And so I think yes. all of us just went, okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. But anyway, spooky.
Spooky. Spooky up there. Hope those ladies are doing okay.
Speaking of spooky yeah. things, Ego, how do you feel about horror movies generally? Do you like them? Do you hate them? Do you love them?
I like hate, them. Love. I like them. I actually would say that I love them, but I don't watch them enough. And also just my attention span is one of the worst things on the planet. So I don't think I could sit through, but I have this I draw the line though at spirits because I believe in spirits. And so I don't do no exorcism movies for me ever in a million years, because I feel like two through the movie, I'm like, the spirit will take residence in your home. And yeah. so
it's not
like,
a bad idea.
No, it's inviting the spirit into your home. So because I believe in spirits and stuff, I'm like, I can't watch an exorcism movie, but I like everything else. I like when it's like Strangers, where, well, I don't want to ruin it. Am I allowed to ruin
You're
other
allowed
movies?
To ruin it. Okay, that's sort of the whole
okay.
deal.
Okay. That is, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah. Strangers, where it's like real killers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm into that sort of thing. Like,
yeah, Sammy just kind of too.
Yeah, this is great because this is how I feel. And Henley always thinks it's a little crazy because killers are the real thing. And I'm like, no, I'm more scared of demons and ghosts. So she's like, but those aren't. But those aren't real.
I don't believe in that.
I believe in them. I believe the demons and ghosts.
I'm like, I don't know, man. We can't say that they're not real.
I don't know if I believe it or not, but I know that I'm not going to mess with it. Right? Like, what's the harm? What's the harm in respecting it? I don't know if I believe in them, but I respect them.
What's the harm in respecting it?
I feel like that's such a safe bet, though, just to be like, I don't know, but I'm going to respect. And that's the thing. I actually don't even know that, like, okay, I watched an exorcism movie, now a ghost resides in my home. But because I'm like, possible, no thank you.
Exactly.
I'm like, why risk it? But I feel like, yeah, I this is part of why I like the urban legend. I know you guys said you hadn't heard of it, and I feel like other people had not heard of it. But I'm like, this was like the scary movie to me in my adolescence. It was like the one to me. And I must have been living in an island.
Yeah. But also it's like, these are big actors at the time who were in, like, how did, like, especially, I feel like we've done a lot of like horror of the late 90s that I'm like, well, yeah, I absolutely knew of these. How did this one slip in?
Yeah, I don't know.
It just, well, that's what I was like. These are really big actors. And I assumed you knew the movie when I told you that's the one that I wanted to do. And it was fully, like, when you were like, you can let me know sooner to the date. And I was like, no, I know what movie, because I want to read it.
No, it's Urban Legend.
Yeah, Urban Legend. Thank you so much. And I was like, because I wanted to revisit it, because I also had this thing in my head. So this was perfect, because I was like, was that movie scary or was I just too young to be watching it? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, oh, it's funny. I had fun.
To see, there was a moment in it, just flashing forward, you didn't ask for this, but where Joshua Jackson's in it, and he gets in the car, and the Dawson's Creek theme song comes
yes.
on, and I was like, oh, little nugget.
I know, it was amazing.
Now that's fun. That is
filmmaking. That's filmmaking.
The 90s.
Yeah.
They're like, you get it. We're stars.
That's
you
exactly.
know my show.
I was like, that was okay. We love that little nugget. And then the Tara Reid of it, I was watching being like, what happened to her?
Yeah, what did happen?
I feel
to
like
her?
Such a star. And then Alicia Witt, who I was not familiar with Alicia's work. But I'm like, and what happened to her? I started to just wonder. I was like, mm-hmm. well, Jared went on to become huge. Joshua Jackson's pretty huge deal. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yep. That's what I was watching during that. Absolutely not scared, to be clear here. That's my mind was more like, huh, this is
where
so
are they
cool.
now?
Yes.
That's watching a movie at this point in our lives where we're like, oh, are they doing well in life? Like, what, you know?
Holy, yes. I was like, Alicia, did she like quit acting or like?
Did she feel good about her choices?
Yes.
What's she up to? Tara Reid still acts though. She did those Sharknado movies, right?
Wasn't Sharknado. Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's doing good.
So she's doing great.
She's really good.
She's amazing. Okay. Okay. I love to hear that.
So I got some stats and some trivia. This has a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, that's low.
Which is why I wanted to watch. Another part of why I wanted to watch it was because I think like a year and a half ago, I looked it up and saw that the Rotten Tomatoes was so low. But I was like, I remember thinking this was scary.
You're like, isn't this a great film?
It does seem a little unfairly low. I think people were so mad that it was. I don't even think it's copying Scream too much, but that's like a complaint that some people had, and so I feel like it got some backlash of like, you're just copying Scream, but it's like Scream was great. I want more things like Scream.
Everything copies everything.
Yeah.
Yes. Literally nothing new under the sun. But okay. Sorry, you were
okay. We got a 35 on Metacritic and a 5.6 on IMDb.
Rare for IMDb to be the highest of the rating.
I know. The budget was $14 million. It made $72.5 million.
Oh, great.
And we have some casting what ifs.
Oh,
we love these. For the main role of Natalie, it was turned down by Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Melissa Joan Hart.
Wow.
You know, nothing evokes, like, casting what ifs are the perfect way to understand a moment in time.
Right, right.
Because those three names would never be together in 2022. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never.
That's a 1998 little time capsule right there.
Melissa Joan Hart, another one that I'm like, what's she up
what's
to
she
now?
What's she up to now?
Immediately,
I'm like,
Clarissa.
What is she doing? I hope she's well.
I do.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar accepted the role of Sasha, which eventually went to Tara Reid, but had to back out due to scheduling conflicts with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
Joshua Jackson and Tara Reid both shot scenes in Cruel Intentions shortly before production started on Urban Legend. And so Joshua Jackson kept his hair blonde just in case he was needed to return for like pickups for Cruel Intentions. So his hair is platinum blonde in this
baby. I'm trying to picture him blonde. I'm going to have to look it up.
It's fun.
It's crazy to me.
You're going
to
want to see it.
I'm going to want to see it.
And Jared Leto has disowned this film and hates it.
Whoa.
Jared, got other things you got to work on. This isn't the biggest thing. Are you kidding me?
I know. It just is so funny.
Disowned it.
Disowned.
Him being like, okay, yes, I've done some bad things in my life, and it's the movie Urban Legend.
That's the only thing I regret.
That's where I draw the line, is Urban Legend.
And that's my only regret.
I want to ask him about that. I don't have access to him.
Ask him. Ask him, please.
Why are you so upset? I don't understand. I get it. It's kind of copying Scream. But I'm like, all those people passing on it, I wonder, I mean, it wouldn't have changed anyone's career, to be clear, because I guess. No one saw it.
Made a good amount of money. Yeah.
But I'm like, why the deep, deep hate for this film? I don't understand.
I definitely don't. I haven't seen it, but it seems like you're drawing more attention to it by disowning it.
Yeah. Like, okay, now you have to watch this. I watched and was like, I wonder if I could get, I looked up the director after I watched, like, I wonder if I could get him to direct a short if I do.
Ooh, yes. I love that idea.
But it's also just, it's like, why?
So I'm contacting you because of the movie Urban Legend, and I would like for you to direct something for me. It's been 24 years and I would like to work with you.
Yeah. And he's like, what? Okay, well, you have bad taste. you shouldn't be contacting me for that.
And then this last piece of trivia just made me laugh. It's like one of those pieces of trivia that's not really trivia.
Yeah, okay, great.
Tosh is a character in it, was originally conceived as a much bitchier character.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Just like when something like that is thrown in, it's like, what? Why is that in here?
Why did we put that? Also, wow, the name Tosh. Is that short for anything?
No. It's T-O-S-H, by the way. Not even Tasha, just T, like Daniel Tosh.
Like Josh with a T.
Yes, correct.
Interesting.
much bitchier. Okay.
So just keep that in mind as we're recapping that she could have been more of a bitch.
Could have been bitchier. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Wow.
That's all the trivia I got. So shall we get into recapping this film?
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
Yes.
Yes. I go, tell us what happens.
Okay. So it opens on this girl on a road trip, it seems, or she's traveling somewhere and it's pouring rain and it's, you know, spooky times, and she listening to music, enjoying her life, pouring rain, she's running out of gas, stops at a scary gas station. So, you know, kind of in the middle of nowhere, real dark. She tries to use the pump, I believe, herself, and it doesn't work. So then the gas station attendant, she needs his help. He comes out and he's like kind of scary, hair real like greasy, and clearly doesn't have much of a social life. Uh-huh. And he like tries to help her with the pump. And when he's back there, well, okay, so he's trying to help her with the pump. And I want to do this justice. So it's not like, for whatever reason, he sees something and he's like, fuck, it's not working. And so he goes in and takes her credit card from her, goes in to try to swipe her card to pay for the gas, and then comes out again. And he like kind of scares her. And he's like at her window. And she kind of jumps a little bit. And he's like, your card, it's not working. And remember, he's like, just, it's pouring rain. The man doesn't have an umbrella. And so now he's drenched. And she's like kind of scary. And she's like, weird, this guy needs my help with the card. Like the credit card company is on the phone right now. And so she gets out of the car. She's a little scared. He gets her into the gas station, locks the door behind her. Uh-oh. She picks up the phone and there's no one on the line. She's like, hello, hello. Mm-hmm. There's no one on the line. And so then she's like, there's no one here, realizes he's locked her in and he's like trying to talk to her. She basically breaks out of the gas station, like busts the window open and like gets herself out of there.
He also like has a stutter. So as he's as he's trying to talk to her, he like he's like clearly stressed about something, but he's like can't get his words out.
Oh, he can't get his words out. Yes. So she's like he's trying to communicate with her, but it's like scary. It's like this man has lied to me. So she gets out, she gets in her car, pulls away, and he like runs after her and she peels out of there. And he can't get it out because he has a stutter. But like as she's pulling away, she's out of frame. He's like, there's someone in your back seat.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Let me tell you what. I remember this from my youth, and I remember being like, that's amazing. That's amazing.
You're like, one day I will work with this director.
I remember this urban legend too. Like, even though I hadn't seen this movie, I had
there'd be somebody in your backseat.
I had heard this story, which is kind of fun.
I get in my car and I lock the doors.
Oh my God, yes. And I'll never stay in my car parked, especially at night. Once I've locked, you got to get out of there fast. We don't want to get out. Coming up to the window. There also could be someone under the car, you know? So you're
I remember when that was a big fear. I remember there was a moment where, like I would like get into my car really fast so that if there were someone under it, they couldn't slice my ankles.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Which by the
I don't think that happened to anybody.
Well, fear. Maybe not. It did happen in this movie, but not this moment.
Okay. Maybe stay tuned. Stay tuned.
This movie, it's like, do I know this movie?
You've lived this.
I've lived it. Okay.
So basically the person in the back seat has an axe. Oof. You know, it's over for her. You know, in short. So now we get to, like, we cut to this college and basically there's a lot of like drama around like, okay, she ended up dead, you know, and that was like an urban legend. And people be like, that was like, that's what that was. And so they're like having, it's like in the student union, which I don't remember my like college having one of these, which was also just kind of goofy to me, like the place where everyone was just hanging out. And it was like, anyway, this group of friends are talking about it and they're like, you know, there's like some non-believers in the group, like, yeah, whatever. I don't believe in urban legends. It's fine. Joshua Jackson's character, big prankster, troublesome sort of troublemaker kind of guy. Really inappropriate jokes coming from him, by the way, that did not, I feel like, age totally well, I feel. He was one of those, just that annoying, that trope. Annoying dude. I then remember them going to class, all of them, and their professor now is talking to them about urban legends.
Yeah, and this is Professor Wexler, who is played by Robert Englund, who is Freddy Krueger himself. A little fun fact.
That's fun.
You know, I didn't make that connection.
I just recognized his name from like us introducing that movie, and so I like knew his name from that. And when it popped up in the credits, I was like, "Who is he in this?" I wouldn't have recognized him.
Sure, Freddy's got like his own thing going on.
He's a lot of makeup on.
But okay, well, this is why I think people need to put some respect on this film's name. There's little nuggets. There's all these little nuggets.
That's right.
They put a lot of care into this movie.
Come on. What? Anyway, so he's like doing this. He's doing a lecture on urban legends. And the one that comes up is one about Pop Rocks. Like what happens to, they're like, he's like, do you know the one about Pop Rocks and having Pop Rocks with soda? And they're like, I think people were like, we kind of know that one, but yeah, right, it's bullshit or whatever.
He calls up Rebecca Gayhart's character, Brenda, to do the, he's like, oh, if it's an urban legend, like, do it. And he gives her Pop Rocks.
Also, sorry if this is nitpicky, would we call, like, putting, what happens when you put Pop Rocks in Coke? Would we call that an urban legend? That feels like it's giving that far too much gravitas.
Like, yeah, that's like an eighth grade science experiment.
It's an anecdote at best.
Anecdote at best.
Well, it's something that like anyone could test for themselves, whereas most urban legends are
anyway,
not.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah. Don't follow those rules.
The notion is that the urban legend is that someone did it and died. So like even so then they're like, oh, no one wants to really test it because it's like, why do I die? But then you really think about it, just use your brain a little bit. You're like, that's not possible. Which, by the way, pause. Are you guys familiar with the like taking a teaspoon of like cinnamon and like trying to swallow a teaspoon of cinnamon?
No. And you just cough and cough?
Yeah, that it like can't be done, right?
it can't be done. But I was so sure in eighth grade it could be done. And someone offered me $5 and I would do all kinds of things.
Oh, my God.
A little bit of money in eighth grade. So I was on the bus. Someone asked me to do that. And I was like, yeah, well, duh. Take the teaspoon, swallow cinnamon, whatever.
And they just had a thing of cinnamon to give to you?
It was this weird thing where I guess that particular week of school, it was like the talk of the week.
It was hot that week.
Remember school? You remember school?
Oh, yeah. We're desperate for any sort of engagement.
And so anyway, I did do it. You can't swallow it. You can't possibly. And I was like, oh, I'm going to choke. And so someone had water for me, but it was actually bad. So I get the fear on the Pop Rocks thing. I'm like, that could be you.
The milk thing is real too, right? You can't drink a gallon of milk like in one sitting.
I had a friend try it and he threw up a lot.
You'll throw up. You can't do it.
Also, that sounds so disgusting.
It's so awful. Gross. It sounds truly awful. There's probably a lot of things that if you tried to like have a gallon of it, you can't.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. Maybe it's not specific to milk, but
cow's milk. Oh, gallon of milk. Okay. He calls Rebecca Garrett's character up, and then I feel like what ends up, because Joshua Jackson is being some sort of smartass of some sort, rolling his eyes, the professor's like, you come up and do it then. Mm-hmm. Or like, he's like, I'll fucking do it. And the professor gives him the Pop Rocks and the soda. He starts like basically convulsing and like foaming at the mouth. And like, everyone's like, oh shit, our classmate just died in front of us. And he like, I remember being like, he's really selling this right now. Because I had a moment where I was like, I know I've seen this before. Surely he's not dying right now. But then I was like, does he die? Is that how this movie goes? He didn't. He was just acting his little ass off. So anyway, then it was like, psych, just kidding, prank. And everyone's kind of mad at him, whatever. And then did I skip anything crucial in this lecture?
No, I think that's it. And just... the other thing before this is that we meet, so Natalie is kind of our main character, and we meet her roommate, Tosh.
That is important. Tosh. I should say that. I forgot about Tosh. Tosh was super bitchy. Was like incredibly bitchy to the point where we were watching being like, what is her problem? Her bitchier is just, I don't even know what that would be. She absolutely sucked. It was like, unclear why. It was also so unclear why. And she was goth or whatever. I forgot. Like, she was goth. And it was like, so she's bitchy because she's goth. There was just like no explanation for why she was so angry. There was no clear reasoning. It just wasn't tracking. I will say, big plot hole there for me. So I'm glad they brought the bitchiness factor down. Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. So, we meet Tosh, and Tosh is basically like a BDSM queen or whatever, and like likes to like have rough sex, but they share a room. And so she is angry anytime Natalie interrupts, or like, basically she's like, fuck off when I'm having sex and I'm having my loud, rough sex. Like, you need to like not turn the light on and disrupt it. You need to just like go to your side of the room and like fucking put headphones on. This is important.
College. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Like, get this, so mean to her about it. So mean to her about it. And then, am I not mistaken that at some point, is this the Joshua? I need help here, because it's just okay. Like chaos after it's chaos, and it's more chaos. But I know what happens.
Okay. So first, it's just like the news of the first girl's death, the gas station deaths, people on campus learn about that.
Okay.
And the dean and the campus security guards are like trying to play it down because they don't want the bad press or whatever. And they're like, oh, no, it's like totally fine. Nobody worry about that.
They don't want the bad press.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It was like, let's not talk about that.
Are they affiliated with this axe man?
Yeah, then people won't come to this school. So just who cares? Oh, an important thing that we didn't talk about, I guess, is in that first scene or second scene when they're in the like student room, they talk about the urban legend of the Stanley Hall Massacre, which...
Oh, yes.
Which is something that happened at their college campus years ago, where someone just like went door to door and killed people.
Yes.
And then, but they don't know if it happened for sure. And yeah, that's when they're like, that's an urban legend.
It's all urban. And like, and we should note that like Stanley Hall is now, they didn't demolish it. It's just abandoned on mm-hmm. campus, by
it's
the way.
It's abandoned? Which, that's
yeah,
worse.
It's an abandoned dorm on campus. I know, which
that's
was sort of
so
like,
much worse.
Certainly lends more credibility to the fact that it happened. That would make me think something bad happened.
Something did happen there, right?
It's just something did happen there.
It's so funny because I'm in my dorm my freshman year. I lived in a building that apparently recently flooded at USC, and they're demolishing it. Like it like flooded years ago, but like they fixed it or something. Now they're just like demolishing it. So I'm like, axe murderer goes through, kills a bunch of students. They're like, let's just abandon this building on campus.
Leave it.
We'll just shutter it.
Leave
we'll just
it.
Shutter
we don't need the real estate. We don't need to turn that into anything else. Just leave an empty building on
just
campus.
Leave it.
Certainly
just leave
college
it.
Students won't go in there and cause trouble. Just leave it.
Yeah. So basically then Natalie, if I remember correctly, like, so they're like, no bad press. Everyone's like, calm down. She's really spooked about it. Main character. Yep. She's just like, something is afoot. I think we should be more concerned. And then I don't remember exactly how they got to the point where Josh Jackson's character, whose name is Damon, which I do think is another little nugget, because that name means darkness. So I'm just, whoa. I don't know. Again, filmmakers, shout out.
Incredible.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to the filmmakers.
So she, Natalie, after finding out about this murder, goes to old yearbooks in her room. And we, the audience, find out she knew Michelle is the person who was killed in the first scene, but she doesn't tell anybody that she knows her, but she's more upset about it because she knew her and she's for some reason keeping that to herself. And then Damon comes in while she's looking at the yearbooks and looking really upset. And he is like, I can be, you know, a nice guy sometimes.
Yes. And he did that thing. He did this thing like, let's go on a ride, get your mind off of this. And like, I know I'm a prankster, frat boy, whatever, but like, yeah, I can be nice and I can be a friend. Let's go. You got to stop thinking about all this crazy stuff. And then he basically was like, he like drives her to this, it's not even a lookout, but it does feel like a thing from movies in the 90s. Like, let's drive to the middle of the woods. And like, it's again, there's no view. We're just like in the woods in my car. Why? But then he like tries to, this is the thing. He tries to like make out with her. He's like, all right, course. You need a shoulder to cry on.
Oh.
I could be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Just get in my car, go to the middle of nowhere so I can hit on you.
Yeah. We truly would hate this man today, yeah, as we should, as rightfully so. So yep. She rejects him. He's like, okay, fucking whatever. He gets out of the car. And he's like, all right, well, I have to pee. We're going to go home now because, like, basically didn't get what I want. You didn't put it. It's so wild. He's bad, man. he's like, I'm going to go pee real fast. So he goes to pee. He's in the woods. And someone, like, in a – okay, also, you know those hooded parkas with the fur, the faux fur, whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Big key in the movie. So we see, like, a person in a hooded parka. He gets attacked. And I'm trying to – they like came from behind him, I feel like, and like dragged him off or something while he was peeing. Mm-hmm. And now Natalie's in the car, just waiting for him to be finished peeing. And then this person somehow hangs Joshua Jackson's character from a tree. And she's in the car. And I can't remember what tipped her off to like something is.
It's his little like foot sounds on the ceiling.
On the top of the roof. Okay. And it's not the assailant's feet. Is it Joshua Jackson? It's Joshua Jackson's feet. Okay. So he's hanging. He's like hanging from a tree above the car. His feet are like tapping the car. Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Because he's still alive. He's like being hung to
kill
him.
Yes, exactly.
And the car is like, what's stopping him from
Why would
hanging?
This person hang him right over the car?
Because you'll see.
Oh, it's like a little game.
It's part of the plans. Another urban legend. So she like, you see the spooky person in the parka. She sees them or something. And then is like, okay, I got to get the fuck out of here. So she's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So like starts to pull away, like drive, but she realizes she's stuck. So then she like, so then they like come towards her. I remember this scene being like, this is so good. I was like, this is incredible. I was like, wow.
They've done it again.
They did it.
Another perfect scene.
I'm just saying with some respect. Okay, so this person is like coming towards her and she's like, all right, fuck. So now she reverses really hard because she kind of gets stuck when she tries to drive off, like kind of regular. She gets stuck. She reverses really hard. And the person's like, okay, cool. Now they're basically coming towards her again. And what she does is like, all right, basically cranks it. And then they cut to like Joshua Jackson above, like, Natalie,
oh my God,
start the car.
Oh my God.
And you're like, oh, maybe she heard him. Maybe, like, maybe not, because she's struggling. And then she like peels out. And yeah, Joshua Jackson is dead.
He's dead. Oh, shit.
He's dead. But she goes back to campus, like, obviously very shaken up. And everyone is basically like, he's a prankster. That didn't really happen. He like went away, everyone has every excuse under the sun as to why he's not dead. And that was just a prank.
Cause they go back and his body's gone. Yeah. There's no evidence of it. The scene has been wiped. And so they're all like, he was just pranking you.
Yeah.
That's a complicated prank.
It's extremely complicated.
So complicated. Everyone's like, it's not real. Then is it Rebecca Gayheart's kid? No, it's Tara Reid and her boyfriend. They're like, you're fine. Chill out. Again, he's a prankster. He'll be back. Whatever. Then if I remember correctly, she's like, all right, I do need to calm down. Maybe I'm wiling out and I'm on edge because of that earlier murder, and goes back to her room, right? If I'm not mistaken, this is where she's like, gosh. Okay.
Yep.
So she goes back to her room and she hears Tosh having what sounds like really, oh no, I should set this scene up better too, by the way. So we go back because this, I think they did such a great job. So we go back. Tosh is on like AIM. You remember AIM? Is on some version of AIM and is basically like kind of progressive for the time, by the way. I'm like that she's like soliciting sex on like AIM in a real way. And is like amazing. A college student and has no shame about it. I'm here for it. So she's basically like soliciting sex with a new person, and she's like, what room are you in? And they're like, oh, do you like whatever rough play or whatever? And she's like, yeah. And then they're like, what room are you in? But then she goes to like get herself more gothified in the bathroom, comes back to her computer and sees that they said their answer to the question is your room. And so then she gets attacked. She's in bed getting strangled. Okay. Natalie comes home. The light is on. She's like getting strangled and is like, you don't know if you're getting strangled or if it's sex, right?
So she's not supposed to disturb and she's not supposed to disturb.
So she turns the light off, puts her big headphones on and lays down in her bed all while her roommate is being murdered.
No! Wait, I really should have seen this coming. This was set up so beautifully in the beginning.
I'm just saying.
Perfect setup and payoff.
Yes. So now Tosh is dead. And Natalie is so spooked. And I think at this point it's incredibly justified, but people still continue to try to talk her down.
Yeah. Even though on the wall, the killer has written in blood, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light?
Oh my God.
I forgot about that.
Very clearly a crime scene. And again, they're all like, a tragic suicide.
That's an incredibly long message for the killer to write.
Are
you glad you didn't turn on the light? It's like, you took the time to write that out?
It's so much, not one word, but like, an introspective question for you.
Something to sit with, reflect on.
Yeah.
And so, Natalie basically is like, okay, I'm in charge of this investigation because nobody is taking this seriously. So she gets her little urban legend book out of the library. And I think she kind of teams up with Paul, right? Jared Leto's character.
Yes, because he's like a journalist on campus, we should say, who is like, he also believes something is afoot and is like, I want to do the deep dive journalism thing here and I'm not buying that. So I'm trying to make connections here and figure out exactly what's going on campus. And then at the same time, again, the dean is like bad press. Loretta Devine character is like a security guard on campus who happens to be armed. That's important for later. Mm-hmm. And so happens to be armed and is like, goes to the dean and is like, this student is missing. And it's Josh Jackson's character Damon, and it's like, the student has been missing, have you heard about that? And he's like, yes, but the kid's probably gone off, it's a long weekend and he's probably gone somewhere for the weekend, like it's fine, let's really just keep everything let's try to keep everything cool and calm and collected around here. So she, Loretta Devine's character, is like, something's off. She also believes something's off. She's also like practicing with her little pit. She like watches, what is she watching all the time?
Pam Grier.
Yeah. So she's like taken by Pam Grier and like mm-hmm. spends a lot of time admiring and like practicing shooting nothing, you know, doing mm-hmm. her little gun stance. Anyway, so she like approaches the dean by in his car in the parking garage and is like, it's a bad weekend. Things have been afoot around here. And he's like, again, chill the fuck out. And is kind of dismissive and a dick to her in this moment. Right. So then she was like, were you scared when I came up to you? And he's like, no. And he tried to be cool because he was a little spooked. He was playing it cooler than he was actually feeling. So anyway, she leaves that conversation and he hears something. And he's like, huh, what the hell is that? As he's trying to get in his car, kind of looks around. He goes to get in his car quickly and his Achilles tendons get slashed from underneath.
This somehow embedded itself into my brain. Yep. I've seen it. But I swear to God, I was like, well, that could happen.
I hate the Achilles. When they get the Achilles, it's bad.
Yeah, slashed them. The man can't walk. So now he's like on the ground. And the killer gets in his car, the dean's car, and is like, he's going to run you over. And I kept yelling, you need to crawl to the side.
Yeah, they never... They never do like a zigzag or anything.
Zigzag, make it confusing. You're going in a straight never. Line. And then I was like, or get really flat. I was like, get really flat. My God,
get so you're flat he can't drive over you.
So funny. Zigzag, God damn it.
I was like fucking zigzag. Like so. Anyway, he was struggling and lost. And then I'm trying to figure out. Maybe you can help me with this. How he got to the. Pokey.
I don't remember really either the mechanics of it, but just tell us what. Just tell us how it ends.
Okay. Okay. So what happens is he's crawling. Driver is like basically fuck you. Drives over him and like drives him through those like you know those severe tire damage warnings with the spikes.
Yes.
Professor gets driven over on one of those. On one of those.
Oh, that's
pretty gnarly death.
That's bad.
And you see it. You see the whole thing.
Yeah.
There are some scenes where they don't really show too much, but I feel like this one was one of the more
gruesome because I feel like we saw the spikes.
But, you know, sometimes, as we talked about before, you just like fill things in with your head. So I can't actually say for sure. Maybe you don't. And I just.
Those tire things are like one of the most like violent things we have in day to day
life. In our society.
You make such a good point. Like, is it? And I'm like, also, people don't reverse.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or go in a wrong entrance, or go in a wrong entrance. It's not necessary.
It's incredibly dramatic.
It seems extreme.
It's way too dramatic.
And like, speaking of filling things in your head, I feel like when you look at one, you're just like, that could do bad things.
Whenever
I
look at
it,
I'm like, it does the same thing. I go like. Well, now I feel like I'm going to reverse, even though I'm not. You know when like something comes, it always makes me feel like I'm like, well, I'm going to accidentally do it just because you put it there, and now I know I can't.
I feel so on edge every time I see one of those.
They make you feel on edge.
All of a sudden, I'll throw my car in the opposite direction for no reason. Just drive over him.
Okay, excellent kill.
So he gets murdered. Now, Natalie's BFF is Rebecca Gayheart, whose name I'm forget. What's Rebecca's?
Brenda.
Okay, Brenda in the movie, who's been like her calming presence. Brenda's like going for a swim now, and Natalie is seeing this like from upstairs in the again a different student center building. So there's glass, and she's seeing a person in a parka, just like she saw Damon get murdered. Person in a parka is approaching Brenda, who's in the water, you know, swimming unsuspectingly, and she like freaks out and like breaks the glass, like it's like Brenda, someone's coming for you, like breaks the glass that she's looking over onto the pool on with a chair, because she's like, I'm gonna save my friend's not gonna get murdered in front of me by this parka killer. And then it was like another swimmer who was like trying to just say hi to Brenda, but for whatever reason showed up in a park.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people had those jackets.
Yeah, it was like, but it's like for the indoor swim, and it's like, is there a reason you're still wearing the parka at the pool?
I also, in this scene, just when it like started, like I saw the pool, I was like, my head went to the urban legend of, oh, we're going to get the one where your intestines get sucked out through your butt. Oh. Do you guys know that one?
No.
What the hell is that?
Because that's one that I've always been scared of.
Wait, how do your intestines get sucked out through your butt? How does it happen?
Okay, I don't know if it's possible, but this is just an urban legend that if you sit on the pool filter, like someone like can like push you down there, you can get stuck on it and your intestines come out your butt.
I think you can get stuck on it, but I don't think it will pull anything out from the inside of your body.
Only one way to find out.
I kind of want to try. It feels like you would do one of the, you know, people get like coloscopies to like clean out there. I'm like, that's a free version.
A free version with a high price if you're wrong about one thing.
But if you're right.
So when she's like, she has this freak out and then she has to explain to Brenda, like, all right, let me explain to you why I'm so on edge. Mm-hmm. Basically, I know Michelle, who was murdered, like where all the buzz was happening at the top of the movie. I actually know her. What happened is another urban legend. She was kind of wild and driving down the road one day. Michelle was my friend. I was with her driving down the road, kind of crazy one day. She flashed. She didn't have her lights on. Someone flashed. I do know this urban legend. Someone flashed their lights at them to be like, turn your headlights are off. Someone coming in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, let's fuck with him. And like chased him down, like did a quick U-turn and chased this man down this windy road. And he like crashed because he was trying to get away now from this erratic driver who was following him. And Jesus. So Natalie is telling Brenda died. This. And he died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And Natalie's like, yeah, he was our age too. And it was just really sad. And I never got over that. And it's just kind of crazy that this thing then just like happened to her. And like Brenda's listening and is like, listen, that's wild that happened. That really sucks. But like, you got to chill out. Thanks for giving me context. Let's get your mind off of this thing. We want to go to, let's go to a party. I'm interested in this guy, Paul, who happens to be Jared Leto, who's the reporter. She's like, I want to like seal the deal with Paul. They get to the party, hosted by Tara Reid and Tara's boyfriend, whose name I am forgetting.
Parker, I think.
Okay, Parker. Okay, great. And so they get to that party and they're like, mine's off that whole thing. Now, Jared's character is like, talking to, again, because he's like, I'm going to crack the case of what's going on around campus. A lot of weird shit going on. I just know something's afoot. And so they're talking about it. And he's like talking really close to her face. And I was like, he's going to kiss her. Trope. He's going to kiss her. And Brenda's going to see it. And she's going to be pissed. And that is what happened. And she sees it. And she was like, wow, Natalie, I guess you don't waste any time. And then she's like, it's not what it looks like. Whatever. But it was.
It is exactly what it looks like. Usually is when people say that.
Yeah, exactly. So the reporter guy is like, we need to like end this party because like there's another urban legend. I kind of, if I'm being honest, didn't understand what his inkling of like this party has to end. Something like something's up. I didn't get that. I didn't quite get where that came from.
No, I didn't really either. And in this moment, I'm personally starting to suspect
him,
Jared Leto. Yeah.
Yes.
I've been suspecting him from the beginning, but I can't tell if it's because it's Jared Leto.
I know. I had that thought too, where I was like, well, I'm just primed to suspect you of bad things.
I suspect you of things.
Yeah. And there was a point where I was suspecting this couple, by the way, where I was like, it feels like the killer's getting from like point A to point B a little too quickly for me. So then I was like, maybe it's both of them. This couple is actually, like Tara Reid and her boyfriend are the ones doing this crazy thing. Mm-hmm. By the way, I should add, because I did drop the ball on this, that Tara Reid runs a like college radio station show. Like, and so she like, where they talk about sex and relationships. It's a little racy and, you know, like late night show. So basically her boyfriend is like, I'm not fucking ending this party. And like Parker embarrasses Jared's character. And is like, this fucking guy wants us to end the party. And like everyone's like, boo, fuck you, whatever. He gets out of there. And remember, like, I guess that feels so intense for college age people. But anyway, he's like, all right, I'm going to get the hell out of here. And then Tara's like, I'm going to go to the radio station. I'm going to go do a show, whatever. Now, Parker gets like super drunk and he gets a call. This is what it is. He gets a call on the phone that's like, basically like you're gonna die tonight, some version of that. I can't remember what the caller said to him, and he was like, okay, yeah, fuck off. Basically he's like, fuck you, this is silly.
He's like, oh, I know this one,
Oh, yes. I know this fucking urban legend. Let me guess. Like, yeah. And so the guy, they basically were like, oh, well, do you know the urban legend of a dog getting microwaved?
And I was like, what? I don't. I haven't heard that one.
What? I had never heard that one.
I had not heard that one. It's like of the woman who dried her dog off in the microwave. He's like, I know what urban legend this is. The call's coming from inside the house, right? And he's like, nope, this is the one with the woman who dried her dog off in the microwave. It's like, what?
Stumbles, yeah, down to the kitchen and the party stove popping and sees the dog. He opens the microwave. What? And I was like, kind of logically, we've never seen your dog to feel anything about this dog besides this is just insane.
This is just so fucked up.
I can feel a certain way sort of neutrally about this, just, like, sure, without context. Like, yeah.
So he opens the microwave and it's just like bloody guts in the microwave. And so he like stumbles upstairs to the bathroom to throw up, like doesn't do it on sight, just is like, ooh, and like gets to the bathroom to throw up in the toilet. We get a shot of his face in the toilet, and then he basically gets drowned in the toilet by Parka murderer.
Ew. And he does. Yeah. He puts. He gets Pop Rocks and Drano shoved down his throat.
Oh, Pop Rocks and Drano too. Yes, he gets drowned, and then Pop Rocks and Drano. And it's like, yeah, that's real. It was really bad.
Okay, that is disgusting. I don't like that at all. That sequence of events was not okay.
Toxic. Genuinely toxic. So then we go to the radio station, and Tara Reid's character is doing her little late night thing. Something spooky's going on, and something is afoot here at the station. Her engineer is like behind her. In the booth, like other side of the booth or whatever, and she's talking to some caller, and her engineer basically gets like dragged off and suffocated, killed, like, and she doesn't realize, and then she like goes to say something to him, he's not there, and then she's like, oh fuck, or like sees him dead, I can't remember, but she's like freaked and is like, what the fuck happened, I gotta get out of here, sees Parka person, and now they're having this like intense she's running from the person in the parka all through this like student building that again it's a weekend, so like there's no one in it and it's late night, and she's running away from this parka person, and meanwhile at the party they like are also playing her radio show. And they're playing a radio show, and there's just like this weird guy who's like, he's like, she's doing the moaning thing again, but Natalie's like, those moans don't sound like she learned her lesson from the Tosh. Mm. She's like, those aren't sex. That's not sex talk moans, or like she actually sounds in danger. So I'm going to go to where the station is. Mm. Now, Tara Reid's running from the killer. There's a moment where basically like there's a staircase, this like big old stairwell. And she like goes and like kind of falls off the other side, but then catches herself. Her fingers are on the edge of the floor there, and she's barely holding on.
Oh, I don't like the way you're showing the fingers as an important. I saw what's happening to these fingers.
Well, you think it's so spooky because then the person has the Parka person has an axe and is like ready to go to war, and you're like, they're gonna cut her fingers off. They're gonna cut her fingers off. But then they did it. She fell and then like hurt herself and then stumbled away. Got her back in the like right in the room, I believe, and then just axed the shit out of her. She got stuck in the room where she started, and like she got axed.
Which also, like, what urban legend is this?
Exactly. We're like, and now we've departed from urban legends altogether.
This was just a murder.
This is just a straight up murder.
This is a murder. And I do feel a bad way about it. So then Natalie gets there to discover she's murdered. That sucks. Now
totally stinks.
Super upset about it. And so now Natalie, she gets to back to campus though, which also is not, I remember being like, what? How did she get back to campus?
Right. The layout is a little confusing. Seems like she got there pretty quick.
Yeah. We get some like some holes in logic. So heads back to campus.
First, she like teams back up with Brenda and Paul.
They put their differences aside.
Okay. Yes, 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 yes. You're so right.
They're like suspecting Professor Wexler. At some point, Paul doing his journalism digging,
sure,
finds that Professor Wexler is the only survivor of the Stanley Hall massacre.
That's
and
suspicious.
It's the 25th yes. anniversary yes. of the Stanley Hall massacre. And so they think that he is on a killing spree for revenge for what happened to him or whatever. Or
yes.
That.
And I also remember, by the way, we got to say the janitor is like a little spooky guy.
Yep.
But there's this like very spooky janitor that just like pops up at inopportune times and is just like, okay, where'd you come from? And so now they're suspecting Professor Wexler. They get back. So how do they get back to campus? I guess that's the part I'm confused on. And I remember feeling confused in real time.
So I'm also confused about why they're doing, they like go to a gas station, the three of them now, Brenda, Paul, and Natalie.
Yes.
And Brenda and Natalie kind of smooth things over. And she's like, it's okay. Like, I'm not mad at you if you like him or whatever.
Yes. And then
Paul goes inside
into the gas station and there was something in the car when they got back, when they got in the car, Natalie's like, something stinks in here. And he's like, no, it doesn't. And so then you go like, oh, Paul is the killer.
And no, it doesn't.
It was just like, no questions. Just like, no, it doesn't. No, that's not, no, it does not. And then it was like, all right. So he goes in the gas station. They smooth things over, Brenda and Natalie. And then I feel like they're like, no, it fucking stinks while he's in the gas station. And they open it. They open his trunk and they open his trunk and there is dead Professor the dean is dead, right?
Oh, or is it Wexler? No, it's Professor Wexler.
It's Wexler. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I was having, as a viewer, trouble being like, which white man is this? I remember being like, in real time, also like, Dean or the professor, because they don't look the same, but sort of, you know. Anyway, Professor Wexler in the car. They run away.
Crazy that him saying it doesn't smell didn't work.
Yeah, that should have worked.
So they're like, fuck, this guy's the killer. He comes out and is like, where are you guys going? Now they're like, they're booking it. And Natalie they're running through the woods. Brenda falls and Natalie just like keeps going. That's what it is. And then she ends up at camp. And then the like creepy janitor, actually, she hitches a ride with the creepy janitor. She's like running. Creepy janitor gives her a ride. A moment happens. Oh, how could I forget this? A moment happens where the creepy janitor gives her a ride and you're like, oh God, he might be the killer, because they also felt like they were trying to set him up as the killer.
Well,
he
has the parka in his car.
In the back seat. He has the parka in his back seat.
But again, it's a popular style.
It's 1998. People got this parka.
Yeah, exactly. So then she's like, what the fuck? And then at that time, she's kind of panicking, but plot twist again is that a driver drives by with their lights not on and the janitor flashes the other car, and then it turns into a chase again, and it's like, and she was like, no, don't do it, but it was too late and he had already flashed. He was like, fucking kids, forget to put their lights on. And now they're in a chase, car runs off the side of the road, janitor presumably dead now, Natalie gets away, and then she lands back at campus.
Okay.
So she lands back at campus, hears from the abandoned dormitory where there's like lights on and like a sheet in one of the open windows. It's like, help me or something. I can't remember what she heard, but she like then goes to see.
I think what she thinks is it's Brenda being attacked because she got separated from Brenda and doesn't know where she is. And so she's like, oh, this is Paul's place that he kills people.
You found a dead body in the back of someone's car. This needs to be the first thing you address when you arrive back.
Yes.
Absolutely, you call someone.
Yes.
Anyone.
Like, let's not go help this person in this. Like, you're not equipped to. Like, also just knowing your own capabilities. Like, you're clearly not equipped to. Your friend was murdered earlier this week.
Like, a lot of your friends.
Yeah,
actually.
Well, your roommate. Everyone around you is dying. I think, like, you gotta go get help instead and not try to be the help. And you have to know you can't pour from an empty cup. And at this point, you're empty. She's empty.
And she's absolutely empty.
So she goes in and the first thing she sees, is it a dead body in there? Basically, the first like actual proper scary thing is like, it's a dead body.
Yeah, I feel like it's all dead bodies just popping.
It's like dead bodies galore in this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like goes into this one room. And she sees Brenda sprawled out on the bed, like looking like, oh, this person is like sick and does like sacrifices in here. And like Brenda's like laid out on this bed and looks like she's like dead and she's freaking. And she goes, Natalie goes to the window to like be like, what the fuck is going on? And then you see Brenda behind her just like slowly sit up and like look crazy.
What?
It was Brenda!
It was Brenda. And Brenda then explained,
what?
Hey, that fucking driver you killed, that young guy, was the love of my life, my high school sweetheart. We were going to get married.
What?
And we talked about getting married. And you guys fucking killed him. And went on about your little fucking merry way. And like was like, and now you're going to pay. And it's like, basically like, I'm going to kill you slowly now. You're going to get killed slowly. Yeah. Spooky, guys. Spooky. So she's like basically like tied Natalie up now, like knocked Natalie out, ties her up, and is like, yeah, you're going to die a slow death. And now she looks crazy. The curly hair, the crazy eyes. Juicy role.
Her performance is very fun.
Yeah, I kept thinking when she got the script and got offered that role, it was like, well, this is fun and different.
Yeah.
So anyway, she like basically was like, I'm going to torture you. But then Jared's character, Natalie like gets out of her little like tied up thingy. And now these two are in a like duel of sorts. And Jared's character appears. And you think like, okay, he's okay, cool. Is he in on it? He's not in. No, okay, he's not. He's here to help Natalie. And he comes in with an applauding for her. Comes in with applause. And I was like, this is very funny.
Wait, who's he applauding for? Wait, I don't get it.
I think he's kind of trying to trick her into being like, all right, I'm in love with you now and let's do this together.
Oh, he's in love with
trying
Brenda?
To trick Brenda.
He's trying to trick Brenda, I think.
Okay. Oh, okay. Because yes. Brenda does, even though she had a previous love of her life.
She does have a crush on
Paul. She has a current crush on Paul.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So then basically she like shoots him, by the way.
Brenda shoots Jared.
Did she shoot him? Did the gun not come in until she like basically overpowers him too somehow?
So the campus security officer comes in at some
Loretta
point and that's yeah that's when
how
the gun
she gets a
comes
gun
in.
Yeah, and I don't remember how she had basically overpowered Paul, but then the campus security comes in and is like basically doing that thing where someone holds a gun and is talking about like, you did the wrong thing, and it's like, you better shoot them because they're like, you're doing too much talking.
Yeah, no monologuing. Yeah,
doing a little bit of a monologue, and you're like, better shoot him. And then of course she like kicks the gun out of the Loretta's character's hand, and I think like hits her with an axe or something. She injures her pretty badly. And now this gun is all around, and now, you know, Brenda's got it. Then someone knocks it out of her hand and she shoots. She shot him, I believe. But I can't remember who got her, because she gets shot by Natalie, actually, out of the window. And that's how she actually dies. She gets shot out of that window that Natalie was gazing out of at the top of the scene. And she ends up dead. Loretta got to have her scary, like, as she had been practicing, like, shoot out. This is how you protect people moment. And yeah. And then it was like, that's how the story. But then the movie ends with like, all right, new era of students, and they're talking now on campus about the crazy murders. Did you guys hear about this thing that happened at Stanley Hall? And like, it was a string of urban legend murders that happened around campus. And then they're like, someone's like, no, that's not what happens. And then at the very end, it cuts to Brenda. She's also a student with these people somehow, doesn't age, and is like, no, that's not how it went down. And then, like, that's the end of the movie. It's like, she's now. But then you're like, well, what's your beef with them? We understood why you, like, felt like you wanted to hurt Natalie. Because she.
Yeah.
But I'm like, so are you going to terrorize these young people as well? And what?
I mean, Brenda is not well. Because, yes.
Isn't she dead? She died. She got shot?
She got shot out of the window, but I guess survived.
I guess she's supernatural. She's supernatural.
Supernatural.
Well, that's what the students are saying. They're like, they never found her body, and so like maybe she's still alive.
I know, crazy. Where is her body? It's not here.
It's not right here on this couch across from you.
And there's no way we could ever see a picture of this woman, because, by the way, she looks like herself.
Yeah,
like, she's not like, there's not like dyed hair, and now she has like this crazy different look. totally looks the same. So
I imagine there were newspaper articles with her face on them.
Exactly.
Like very much like... photos of this woman exist.
Yeah.
Oh my
also,
God.
If her whole beef was with Natalie and her friend who died at the beginning, like, why did she microwave a dog? Why did she do... There's, like, a lot of... Why'd she murder Tosh? It's just, like, what...
There's a lot of collateral damage.
She spent a lot of time not killing Natalie. Like, a lot of time.
The, like, losing the love of your life, I suppose, is supposed to make you crazy.
Yeah, like, bloodthirsty.
Also, why was Jared Leto insisting that it didn't smell in the car? Why
he's embarrassed. He doesn't want a stinky
car. It was
car.
Almost like he farted. That's what I thought the conversation
farted.
Was.
Maybe he farted.
I think
and
he,
it was
he must have farted. He farted.
He must have farted.
It was like, it does stink. It absolutely does stink, and you smell it. It was just such a strange... So listen, I know I started applauding the filmmakers at the beginning of this, but I have to say, there were some fair holes in the plot
sure.
where I had to ask you, now, how did she get from here to here? Maybe 10 times, because it didn't track to me at all.
Oh,
I still think it deserved more than 23%
yeah,
on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sure. I was riveted every
for
second.
Sure.
Every
for
second.
Sure.
It was better than I expected it to
it was
be,
fun.
To be completely honest.
I had fun.
It's very fun.
It's a fun
yeah.
one. It's a
it
fun
was
one.
Super fun. I love these ensemble, late 90s ensemble horror movies. I want more of them. Can we have a resurgence of these? I want like...
I would love that. That's a fair petition, because I feel like those ensembles make it a little less scary though too, to be like, mm-hmm. I know, I'm not looking at like actor in this spooky situation. I'm watching Joshua Jackson
exactly.
and Tara Reid in a mm-hmm. scary movie.
I want like the who's who of Hollywood.
I was going to say, does that even...
Starring.
Who would be, does that even exist? Does 2022 have a Joshua Jackson?
It's like the cast of Riverdale.
Yeah, just give me the cast of Riverdale, I guess.
Yes, I think them. Put them in. Put them
just
in
put them in everything,
movie.
Honestly.
I'm here for it.
Yep,
ladies,
wow.
thank you for having me.
Thank,
I go,
you
thank you
so much.
Thank you for this. So this was your first time revisiting this movie since you knew it.
Yes.
Incredible.
Can you not tell by the very bad job I did?
No,
you
that
did
was
such
one,
a good job.
You're incredible.
You're supposed to do all this podcast. And I was like, so what happened to get help?
No,
it was perfect. It was
okay,
perfect.
Okay,
oh, my
okay.
God. Yeah, I go, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you would like to plug, promote? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Eggie_boom, B-O-O-M. And then on Instagram at @Eggie_boom, no underscore.
Okay.
The underscore on Twitter is because a woman named Esther Wilson has Eggie Boom.
God damn it, Esther.
I'll just
Esther.
Shout her out. Esther, come on. You don't use it.
Give it up.
Esther,
give it up.
You don't use it. Cough it up. And yeah, occasionally in the fall, catch me on Saturday Night Live. And so that's fun. People know that one.
People know that one.
Mm-hmm. People know that one. But thank you so much.
Thank you,
Egga. What
had
a treat.
So much fun. That was amazing.
What a treat. We usually end with like a voice, but I mean, were there any voices in this one, Sammy?
Not really. Pretty standard voices. So from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Goodbye.
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 Bye.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you really want to make our day, you can rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can also follow us on social media at @TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want even more content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. We will be back next week with a regular episode. We love you a lot. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.